and I won't keep you long, but I have a thought to share with you today. And I'll give you the title of the message first. And the title is, It's Not Your Fight. It's not your fight. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. If you could bow your heads with me, Father, we thank you, hallelujah, for your presence, for your anointing, for your word. Let it find good soil, hallelujah. We thank you and we give you the praise and the glory in Jesus' name, amen. Last time I'm going to ask you to say something. Turn to your neighbor, shake their hand and say, it's not your fight. Amen. You may be seated in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, if you didn't know, I want to tell you there's a war going on. There is a war going on. It's maybe not one that we can fight with knives and bows and arrows or guns, but there is a war going on. And it's fierce. And it's dangerous. And it's bad. But I want to tell you, it's not your fight. We may be in the war, but it's not our fight. Hallelujah. There is a war going on. It started many thousands of years ago when Satan tried to steal your inheritance. I don't know about you, but I don't like anything being stolen that belongs to me. Amen. I don't like anything being taken that's mine. And Satan has tried to steal your inheritance. You may not have thought about it in that way, but that's exactly what he's tried to do. He's tried to take away your sonship, your inheritance. And today he's trying to take away your joy, your blessing, your peace. But I want to tell you, it's not your fight. Amen. It's not your fight. There is someone who is going to fight on your behalf. You can have a champion today. You don't have to take this load on by yourself. It's not your fight. In Ephesians, Paul makes it clear, yes, we are in a fight, but we have a champion. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. You see, it would be easy if Satan would just walk in here as a person. We could see him. We could point to him. We could probably deal with him. But he's a lot slicker than that. He doesn't come in the guise of someone with some horns and a tail and a pitchfork. He's going to come into your life as your best friend, your person at work, your circumstance. And he will try and destroy you. Hallelujah. We're in a battle, but we are not in a fight. Hallelujah. We don't have to fight this ourselves. In Ephesians, Paul is telling us about putting on the whole armor of God. And for sure, you need to have some armor on, else you are going to be hurt. You're going to be destroyed. He talks about putting on the helmet of salvation. Hallelujah. The breastplate of righteousness, having our loins girded about with truth and our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. And then he talks about having the shield of faith. And that's all good, but you still have to have some more. I'm telling you, you have to have the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. That's why we have Sunday school. That's why we have Bible study, so you can get some word in you, that when some situations come, you have an "it is written" to tell the devil. You have some weapon that's superior to whatever he's coming with. Because you know he'll talk to you. He'll come and speak to you. He'll tell you why you're a mess, why you're a failure, why nothing's going to work out. But you should have a weapon to turn back on him and say, "It is written." There is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. You need to have your weapon ready. As I said, there's a war going on and it's fierce. There's some warfare going on. I don't know about you. If you're not in a war, you're probably at the back. I'm telling you, if you're on the front, there's going to be some arrows coming your way. There's going to be some slingshots coming your way. There's going to be some weapons of depression coming your way. There's weapons of accusation coming your way. Hallelujah. Paul said here, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood. It's not something you can see, but yet it's worse and more powerful than something you can see. Because what is seen, the Bible says, is temporal. But what you can't see can be eternal. See, we can't deal with that, but God can. There's coming a day, and I've quoted it so many times in Revelation 12, where it says, now has come salvation. Hallelujah. The accuser of our brethren, which accused them before God, day and night, he's cast out. I'm telling you, there's coming a day when this battle will be over. But for now, you don't have to think it's your fight. You're not in this alone. You have a champion. You have someone who is willing to stand and go before you. Can I get an amen on that? Amen. Listen, don't let the devil take your joy. Don't let the devil take your joy. I know I preach that too every Sunday, but it's so important. Because he will take away your joy, try and make you depressed, tell you you're a loser. But I tell you what, it's not my fight, Satan. You know, David went down to the brook and he picked up 5 smooth stones. And he said to Goliath, you come in the name of your gods, you uncircumcised Philistine. But I come with somebody else. You can't see him. You don't know him, but he's right here. And he helped me kill the lion. He's helped me kill a bear. And he's going to just take care of you too. Because it's not my fight. It's not my fight. I want to introduce you to my champion. His name is Jesus, the Son of the living God. And he has never been defeated. Never been defeated. Never been defeated. Because he comes with the word. The Bible says in Revelation he's going to ride out on a horse. And on his thigh is a name written. And that name is the Word of God. I tell you, when you have the Word of God and you can take out and it is written to your situation, then you have a weapon of warfare. There is a war going on. If you haven't realized it, don't be surprised if someone takes a shot at you. Amen. If you don't get hurt in the battle, because there is a war going on. If there's a war going on, you know what? You're aware. You're looking around. You're watching. You're looking for the enemy to strike. You're not being surprised. You're not taken unawares. See, he has a hatred for you. I want you to know, if you don't know it by now, Satan would like you dead. He wants you washed up. He gets pleasure in hurting you, because that's the only way he can hurt God, is to try and get you and to take you out of the battle. But I'm telling him he's not going to move me, because the Bible says if you've been planted like a tree by a river, hallelujah. I talked last week about, a couple weeks ago, how they asked the captives to sing a song. You see, this race is all about joy. Satan wants to defeat you with whatever weapon he can, but it's not my fight. I don't have to try and take him on by myself, because I can't. You don't have to fight this alone. He has promised never to leave you nor forsake you. You need to just look around and understand that you are not alone. There was a story a few years ago, and I think I've told this before. A few years ago, Chris and I were invited out to Arizona, to the Navajo reservation, to preach and to teach. And they were telling us this story about this guy who was in a gang, and he was before the judge, and the judge sentenced him. He said, I'm going to give you a choice. You can either go to prison for 6 months, or you can go to church camp for 6 weeks. And he thought, man, this is going to be easy. Of course, I'll go to church camp. But you know what? His plan and God's plan turned out differently. You know what happened? When he got to the church camp, the Spirit of God started to move on his heart. And while he was there, he got saved. But then he had a problem, because he was in this gang that you couldn't leave. They would not let you leave. You were going to get hurt trying to leave this gang. But he came out of the high school. And as he was going home, and he told them, I'm finished with this gang. I'm not having any more to do with it. So they all gathered to come and to give him an exit, as they call it. And as they started to come towards him, they started to slow down. And then finally they stopped and then started to kind of back up. And this happened for a few days in a row, and then someone came to him in school and said, who's all those tall dudes with you every night you leave? Who's all those guys around you? I'm telling you, it's not your fight. The angel of the Lord encampeth around them that fear him. It's not your fight. When you truly submit to God, he will protect you. See, Satan wants you dead, but it's not his choice. God told him, listen, yeah, you can take away his stuff about Job. You can take away his building. You can take away his bank account. You can take away his job, but you cannot take his life. His soul belongs to me. You cannot take his life. It's not your fight. Many times we think it's our fight. We try and go out there. You know, that's what Saul thought. He told David, why don't you put on my armor? Because he's coming against us. Saul thought it was his fight. But David told him, you know who you've made a big mistake today, Goliath? You didn't defy Israel, but you defied Israel's God. You made a big mistake. It's not me you're fighting. He looked at David and said, you little scrawny 17-year-old, this is a joke. You come in to fight me, don't you understand who I am? For 40 days he had defied the armies of Israel, and nobody had come to fight him, you know, because they thought it was their fight. What I'm trying to tell you is you don't have to think it's your fight anymore. You just need to have the word of the Lord somewhere in your weaponry. You need to understand it's not your fight. You are not alone in this battle. But if you will gird up your loins with truth, if you will take the shield of faith, if you will put the helmet of salvation on your head, if you will understand it's not your fight, and then you get, it is written. It is written. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God, and him alone shalt thou serve. I will not give up. I will not bow down to you, Satan. I will not give up my joy, because I'm accepted in the beloved. If you weren't in Sunday school, you'll miss that. But we are his beloved, and because of that, I'm going to have joy. Despite what I'm going through, I'm going to glory in tribulations. See, God's way is not our way. It doesn't make any sense what we're going through. But I'm telling you this, it's not our fight. We have an old song that they used to sing, Joshua fought the battle of Jericho, but it wasn't his fight. He didn't do it. You see, I'm going to tell you who actually fought the battle of Jericho. In Joshua chapter 5 and verse 13, Joshua went up into the hills and he went to do a reconnoiter. He was going to look over Jericho, but he came across this army figure, this man who was standing fully in armor in Joshua chapter 5 verse 13. And it came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho that he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, there stood a man over against him with his sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went unto him and said, are you for us or for our adversaries? Joshua met someone special, someone unique. This person was not some just foot soldier. He wasn't just a captain or a major, but he was the top guy. He said, I am the commander. When you have met the commander, when you have the commander fighting on your side, then you can truly say it's not my fight. I'm telling you, when you need to have an encounter, you need to get up on your knees, go up in some mountain somewhere, and find the commander of the Lord's host, because that's who you need to fight this battle. There was no way the children of Israel coming out of the desert could have fought against Jericho. Jericho had walls 60 feet high, 20 feet wide. But they didn't need to fight in the end, because it was the commander of the Lord's host who fought for them. We need to find him today. If you don't know him, if you can find him, then it won't be your fight. Many times we're looking at the warfare that we are looking at, and it looks hopeless. It looks devastating. But we wrestle not against flesh and blood. It's not something tangible, or else you could fix it. If it was a person, you could deal with it. But we're wrestling Satan, who now works in the children of disobedience. He'll go through your boss. He'll go through your coworker. He'll go through your family member to depress you, to steal your joy, to take away your peace. I want to tell you today, it's not your fight. Aren't you glad it's not your fight? But we have a champion. See, the Philistines had a champion. They got Goliath and they said, listen, you're about a 9-foot dude. All you have to do is stand out there and Israel will not dare to come. And you know they were right. For 40 days he defied the armies of Israel. They had had so many victories, but just because now the devil got out there big and bad and bold, but it wasn't supposed to be their fight. They weren't supposed, and you know what? God wanted to show them it was not their fight. Saul told David, put on all this armor. David tried and said, you know what? You know, this just doesn't feel right. When we try and solve the issue ourselves, it won't feel right. You see, what we're trying to do is take on a fight that we can't win. He said, wait a minute, you know, I'm going to take this all down. I'm going to take this all off. And he got him his sling, and he went down to the brook, the place where there is living water. That's where you have to go. You have to go to the place of living water. And he got him 5 smooth stones. Now, people say it represented Jesus. I don't know about that, because he only needed one. You know why? Because it was not his fight. Goliath, you come in the name of your gods. I'm going to come in the name of my God. When last have we spoken to our situation and told it, it's not my fight, Satan. You're not fighting me. You're fighting who I represent. Amen. That's who he's really trying to fight, and he can't win. He came across the commander of the Lord's army. And Joshua chapter 5, verse 14, and the man said, nay, but as captain. Now, it's translated captain, but it really means commander. This wasn't a captain as we know it. This was the top person. You know how we can know? He told him, you're standing on holy ground. When we take the problem to God, when we bow down before him, then it will become not our fight. We can humble ourselves and give the issue to the King of Kings, to the commander of the heaven's hosts, and he will fight for us. But there were some things for Joshua to do. They still had to do some work. They had to go down there and they had to march around Jericho. Sometimes we want God to do it all. But I'm telling you, although it's not his fight, we're going to have to do some things. We're going to have to stand up to the enemy. He will deliver us. He will take care of us. But sometimes we have to go down to the brook and dig up some stones. We have to get some things done in our lives for God to manifest in the way that he would like to. And the captain of the Lord's host told him, take off your shoe. Now, in ancient times, this was a sign of covenant. What he was saying is, listen, give me the problem. When there was going to be a transaction, men in those days would take off their shoe and exchange it as a sign and as a seal. What was happening here? Joshua was acknowledging, hey, we can't defeat Jericho, but you can. I'm going to give you my shoe. I'm going to bow down and I'm going to worship because we're standing on holy ground. I'm trying to tell you something today. Whatever you're facing, whatever problem you're going through right now, don't make it your fight. The Bible says, cast your cares upon, for he careth for you. Hallelujah. God wants to take the burden. You know, it'd be like your little child trying to lift up a 100-pound weight, you know, trying to take a box in, and you want to help them, they keep fighting you. All they have to do is say, Daddy, please come. And you're just willing and able and ready. God wants to come into your life. He wants to help you. He wants to be the commander of the Lord's host in your situation, in your village, in your family, in your work, in your job. But many times we lock the door and we say, I'm going to handle this. And then we find out we're actually facing Goliath. And he's coming at us big and bold. But I want to tell you, if we have submitted to God, it doesn't have to be our fight. Hallelujah. 1 Samuel 17:46, we see what Goliath had to say. He said, this day will the Lord deliver you into mine hand, and I will smite thee and take thine head from thee, and I will give the carcass of the host of the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air and the wild beasts of the earth, and all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. When last have you boasted about God? When last have you talked to your situation and said, devil, you think you got me, but I'm a child of the King. It's not even my fight. Do you know who you're talking to? We need to have a talk with the devil and say, hey, do you know who you're talking to? I'm just the representative. I'm just the King's child. See, David knew a thing or two about whose fight it really was. In 1 Samuel 17:47, he said, listen, this is what's going to happen. This is how it's going to go down between me and you, Goliath. And the whole assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not with sword and spear, not with our own hands, not with our working out, but the battle. What does it say? For the battle is the Lord's. I'm telling you, it's not your fight. Stop thinking it is. Stop taking all the burden. Stop taking all the pressure and start to say, Lord, it's your fight. I'm going to speak as if you're fighting this for me. It's not my fight. I can't win it anyway. David said, listen, I know I'm only a little 17-year-old youth, but you don't understand. It's really not my fight. You think you're fighting me, but you don't even understand really very well, Goliath, who you really fight. Else you'd turn around and run right now. For the battle is the Lord's. You know, Jericho had heard about Egypt. They'd heard about the Red Sea. And so they locked themselves in their wall thinking, you know what? We got them. They don't have any weapons can come through this wall. They didn't understand it wasn't Israel they were fighting. I tell you, if we could understand and turn the issue over to God and let him know, Lord, I need your help now. Anytime now, Jesus, you can go in front of me. The trouble is we trying to lead God. He said, follow me. We have to follow, not lead. When we are in the place where we truly turn the battle to him and understand, as David said, for the battle is the Lord's. All Goliath could see was this little thin, little scrawny 17-year-old coming at him with a slingshot. I bet he laughed for a long time until the Lord shut him up. Until the Lord shut him up. I want to tell you something today. It's not your fight. When I look at the issues and problems in my life, I know it's not my fight because there's nothing I can do. There's no thinking. There's no application of working out. There's no finances. It's God's fight. But when we give him the loaves and fishes, he can multiply it. He can do the miracle. He can multiply the little thing that we have brought, and he can solve the problem. David understood that. He says, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. He just said it so confidently. There was no doubting. He could have put on all of Saul's armor and come like, no, okay, we're going to match up here. But he knew a thing or two. He could not have won that way. You can't win that way. You have to truly, truly understand and bow down like Joshua before the commander of the Lord's host and say, Lord, you need to fight for us. It's not our fight. We can't win this battle. We're facing an impossibility. Today, I want you to understand, church, it's not your fight. You need to tell the devil. You need to boast to him like David did. You have to tell your situation, hey, you coming at me like Goliath? I'm coming at you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Many times we think it's our battle and we start to work it out. But the battle is the Lord's. The battle is truly the Lord's. I'm going to be very quick. Let's go to Luke chapter 12, verse 22. Most of the things we're worrying about, we can't even fix anyway. Jesus said here to his disciples, therefore I say unto you, take no thought your life that he shall eat, neither for the body what he shall put on. He's saying, listen, it's not your fight. You can't make those things happen anyway. You could go to work tomorrow and they give you a pink slip. Isn't that right? So why worry about those things? Trust God. Speak to your situation. Tell the devil, listen, I'm not fighting you. He is fighting you. Amen. The Bible says it's the invisible things that are eternal. Hallelujah. Jesus used this example. He said, consider the ravens. You ever looked at a bird and wondered, where do they shop? Do they go to Pick and Save or Myers? No, they don't. Yet God feeds them. God takes care of them. You know why? It's not their fight. He provides for them. And Jesus said, aren't you much more valuable than a sparrow? And which of you, verse 25, taking thought can add to his stature one cubit? And if he then be not able to do that thing which is least, to God, making me grow a foot would be nothing. He said that would be nothing. Why, if you can't even do which for God is the least, why take ye thought for the rest? Consider the lilies. You see, if you're going through a financial issue right now, you need to speak to the devil and say, listen, I'm not scared of you. You need to get like David. You need to go down to the living water, bow down, get you a stone. The rock that followed them in the wilderness, that rock was Christ. I think the rock hit Goliath in the head and knocked him out. All David had to do was sling it, probably not even aim it very well. Amen. Because the battle is the Lord's. Whatever you're facing today, however you're dealing with it, step back and say, the battle is the Lord's. Amen. The battle is the Lord. That's the word for today. The battle is the Lord's. The battle is the Lord's. I don't know how to work it out. I don't know how it's going to end, but the battle is the Lord's. I can't fix it, but he can. You know, because that scripture that we all love and we all say but don't believe, and we know that all things work together for good. It's not our fight. God knows we can't go against the devil by ourselves, but he has given us great and exceedingly precious promises. You know what those are? Words. The word of God, which abideth and liveth forever. He said, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words are not. The proof is in Revelation, that's who's going to fight Satan. It said there was one on a white horse. And you know what his name was? The word of God. He had a name written that only he, and it says the word of God. In the end, it's the word of God who is going to defeat the enemy, who is going to wipe him out, who's going to hit him in the head and take off his head. It's not my fight. I'm not strong enough. I'm not smart enough. I'm not good enough. But I know someone who is. I've got a champion who fights on my behalf. I've got a substitute who's coming into the game, and he's going to be the pinch hitter. Amen. I have someone who is going to fight on my behalf. Yes, we have to put on armor, but I tell you what, it's the word of God that actually is the winner. It's the word of God that is the sword. And when the word of God moves, when the word of God goes out, the Bible says it shall not return void, but it shall accomplish. That means it's going to be effective. When God speaks, I've told you so many times, when God says, let there be, the only answer is? Let's say it one more time like you believe it. When God says, let there be, the answer is? Let's say it one more time like you believe it. When God says, let there be, the answer is? Okay, I think you're getting it. A few more times and you'll got it. It's not our fight. It's not our fight. We're in the battle, but it's not our fight. Joshua knew who fought the battle of Jericho. All they had to do was walk around Jericho every day. We're going to have to walk through this world and proclaim God's grace, God's love. And on the seventh day, they walked around seven times. And you know what then they were told to do? Give a shout. They drew no weapons. They brought nothing. All they did was use a word, a shout. We don't know what they said, but I believe it was the name of God. They probably shouted Jehovah or something. And that's all they had to do because the walls fell down. Whatever Jericho you're fighting, the first thing you have to do is go up in the hill somewhere and find the commander of the Lord's host, because he is the one who can truly solve your problem. He is the one who will defeat and destroy the enemy at Jericho. See? Amen. If you could stand with me. I told you it wasn't going to be long. Corinthians chapter 10, verse 4. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. You can't fight him with your fists. You can't even fight him with your own words. But are mighty. Let's say mighty. Okay. Through God to the pulling down, pulling down, pulling down, pulling down, pulling down, pulling down of strongholds. Casting down imaginations. Whatever the devil imagined against you can be cast down. Whatever he thought to do to you can be destroyed. Whatever plan he came to destroy you can be pulled down. And every high thing, in the book of Revelation it says, every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess. I preached a message a long time ago that said, you bow down now or fall down later. Your choice. Every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. It's not our fight. When we get that, and we can relax. I don't even really have to fight this. I can march around Jericho and give a shout. That's what I have to do. That's what he told him to do. Don't try and fight Jericho. Don't bring siege instruments. Don't try and beat down the wall yourself. But take the singers, the worshipers, the ark of God, the priests. Let's have a church time. Let's march around Jericho. And then on the seventh day, give a shout of victory. Thank you, Jesus. You know how Jesus did the resurrection of Lazarus? He said, I know you always hear me. And I know we're going to do this. I'm just saying this out loud so everyone can hear. He just said that so everyone could hear what he was going to do. There was no like if, and, or but about it. It was just, I'm going to speak it out just for the sake of these people. I'm talking this out. And then he said, Lazarus, come forth. And many people say if he hadn't said Lazarus, everybody who was dead would have come forth. That's the power of the God we serve. That when he speaks, something happens. Hallelujah. It's not my fight. I would lose. I'm not strong enough. But I have a champion. And the champion is the Word of God. Hallelujah. And I have a high priest who ever liveth to make intercession for me. I've got some good things on my side. The Bible speaks that he's going to fight as he did in the day of battle. Well, when was that? I think it was when Israel crossed over Jericho that God fought for them. They could not have taken down Jericho, but the commander of the Lord's host came and said, listen, Joshua, you acknowledge me. You bow down in worship now. Give me your shoe. Take off your shoe in worship. And here's what you do. Joshua obeyed, and they gave a shout, and their wall came down. Because it wasn't Joshua that fought. It wasn't David that fought. It wasn't Israel that fought. Because this is not our fight. We're in the battle, but we have a champion. We have to understand this, and when we submit to God, when we're walking according to his principles, he will fight for us. Last thing I'm going to say, Jerusalem was surrounded in the days of King Hezekiah. The Assyrians brought 200,000 soldiers, surrounded Jerusalem. They had pillaged all of Judah, all of northern tribes, and they started to boast, hey, you Israelites, your God is not going to save you. Of course, that was their big mistake because they spoke against Jehovah. They spoke against El Elyon. They spoke against Jehovah Rapha. They spoke against Jehovah Tisakenu. Hezekiah knew what to do. He didn't try and even speak to them. He said, don't say a word. Don't answer these people. He took their letter and he went to the temple. Lord, you see what they're saying? See what they're saying, Lord? Hallelujah. 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 See, the devil wants to send a letter to you of threat. But he took that letter and he presented it before the Lord. God is speaking to someone here today. And he's saying, it's not your fight. Trust me. Trust me, it's not your fight. It's not your fight. Hezekiah, just worship me. Bow down. Worship me. God said, don't worry about this, Hezekiah. They didn't come to fight you. They didn't speak against you, but they spoke against me. And so that night, the Lord sent one angel. That's all it took, one angel. And 180,000 of the enemy didn't wake up. In the end, they couldn't even fight. They had to go back home. And then a little bit later, their king was killed. You see, we don't have to defend ourselves. Vengeance belongs to God. When you're a child of the King, He will defend you. He will defend you. It's not our fight. Amen. We're going to end this service. I invite anyone who would like to pray. I invite all of us today to give back whatever you're trying to fight to God and understand it's not our fight. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but are mighty through God to the pulling down of whatever stronghold you're facing, casting down every thought and every high thing that exalteth itself before God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of God. Amen. Isn't God good? I have a champion. I'm not facing this by myself. When Nebuchadnezzar threw the three Hebrew boys into the furnace, and he came and looked, he didn't see three. You know why? It was not their fight. Hey, didn't we throw three in there? How come we see four? And one of them looks pretty strange. He looks like a son of God. I'm telling you today, church, it's not our fight. When we understand this, when we truly bow down and find the commander of the Lord's host, he'll tell us, hey, it's not your fight. I've got this. Trust me. Hallelujah. Lean not to your own understanding. You could play. We're going to close this service in prayer today. I want you to be encouraged. I want you to know something. God is speaking to someone here today. It's not our fight. It's our battle, but it's not our fight. And He's able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we even ask, conceive, or think. Hallelujah. As they sing, I'm going to pray. And what I'm praying for today is that you understand that it's not our fight. David didn't think it was his skill with the sling. He was very skilled. But he knew, listen, the battle is the Lord's. I know I can't fight a 9-foot giant, but I'm not fighting you, really. It's the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We're going to pray right now. If you could lay your hand on the shoulder of the person next to you, because there's so many, if you could lay your hand on the shoulder of the person next to you, and I want you to tell God it's not your fight. And I want you to tell Him, as Joshua did, and as he bowed down before the commander of the Lord's host, and acknowledge that it's not our fight. The battle is the Lord's. But deliverance will come from Him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He shall fight as He did in the day of battle. What we're facing is impossibilities. With man, it's impossible. With God, nothing is impossible. He is able to save to the uttermost those that come to Him. Let us pray right now, church. Pray for the person next to you, because it's not my prayer. It's His deliverance. I don't have to lay hands on you, but if you will believe in faith right now that it's not your fight, that this battle belongs to God, He will deliver. He will deliver. His arm is not short, nor His ear hard that He cannot say.